Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Pens. Your lesson plans. Okay, let's be honest. How many people forgot to turn their clocks forward? They made it anyway. I woke up this morning and was getting ready to leave the house to go run. And I said, what time is it? And I would have missed church this morning if God didn't tell me to. Glad I forgot to turn my clock forward. I thought I did. But I thought my wife did, actually. You always blame it on the wife. Blame it on the wife. Turn to Mark chapter. Oh, yes. Did he tell you to remind me if I didn't do it? I told him, I said, just tell them I'm going to say it, so if I forget, they can remind me. So good. Rock University, we are. One of the purposes of this church is to create an army of people that can serve the Lord and reach the community. And Sunday service has a role in that, but another tool that we've come up with is Rock University. Rock University is not a college. It is our in-house discipleship training program. And so if you want to do anything in this church, from being an usher, small group facilitator, or starting your own ministry, Rock U is the facility for that. So we're going to have a school of evangelism that'll have evangelism classes, a school of ministry that'll have ministry classes, a school of leadership that'll have leadership classes, and a school of hard knocks. School of hard knocks is going to teach classes like how to do a budget, how to learn a computer, how to read. There are people in the community who can't read. And so Rock U is going to be the vehicle for all of that. And so if anybody wants to do anything, I'm saying go to Rock U. That's one place to go, one-stop shopping. So if you want, and the first level is a level 100, which is just membership, what it means to be a rock person. We want to rockinize everybody's head. And so we want to encourage you to go sign up. The classes have started. Go sign up at the table, get information. But if you, like I said, if there's anything you want to do in this church, if you don't go to Rock U, don't even talk. Don't even talk about doing something. That's where you're going to learn what it means to be part of the Rock. And every church has a different personality, and so we want to make sure we understand what our personality is. That God has, there's a little whiteboard in the back here, and it says, I probably forgot already, but it is just, someone wrote on it, you get it done, I think it is. And it's going to be that mentality. If God's calls you to do it, go do it. We're not here to do it for you. We're here to equip you and encourage you to go do what God's called you to do. You don't get the rewards when someone else does it. So when you do it. And so Rock U is there for that. So we want to encourage you all to sign up for that. The other thing is 2 weeks ago, last time I was here, I talked about gay marriage and Genesis chapter 6. We have on our webpage under current issues. You want to write this down if you want to do something about the gay marriage issue. By the way, if you're new, you don't know what we're talking about. We think gay marriage is wrong. It's not biblical. And if you want to understand why, go to our webpage and under current issues, it'll have an area for homosexuality and gay marriage. It'll have verses and what we believe. But also, it will have a place for you to send a letter to our government in opposition and voicing your opinion. So we're not just sitting around just talking about it. One of the next issues is going to be the fact that the little kids in this state can change their gender. If you don't know that, every public school, according to the law in the state of California, all the kids in public schools, elementary, junior high, and high school, can actually decide that they are a different gender than they physically are. And that's already been going on there. Kids cross gender in schools and foster care system right now. And so as ridiculous, I know you probably wondered, did you hear what I really just said? Yes, that a boy physically can say, I'm a girl. And the state has to acknowledge that. It's ridiculous. It is satanic. Satanic. It is not a condition that God has put on people. It is totally ridiculous. So that's going to be another issue. So we can't just sit around and let this happen. So anyway, go to current issues, homosexuality, gay marriage, and you'll have some stuff you can click on and sign and send to the government. Okay, let's see your Bibles. Did we do that already? Okay. Turn to Mark chapter 11. We're going to take a break from Genesis. Today is Palm Sunday. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark 11. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love for us. And we pray you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, I had the privilege of going to a prison, Calipatra State Prison, and we were going to go into two different yards. And the first yard we went into, right as we were starting, there was a fight. Actually, it was an attempted murder across the yard. Two guys tried to kill another guy. They both had knives, and they jumped this guy, so they were fighting and rolling around for 2 minutes, which was a long time to fight, two on one. And what happened was the music was playing, and because the music was playing so loud, and we had these speakers, I mean, we were pumping some serious music because we wanted to get the whole yard to come over to the music. The guards couldn't hear themselves yelling. They couldn't hear the sirens because they were all running to this location. And so finally, after a few seconds, we all realized they were running and yelling at us, and everybody, all the inmates in the yard had to get down. What they instruct you to do is to get down on the ground, and if you don't, the snipers on the roof, you are a target for them. So if you don't get down, you're one of the guilty parties, and you can get shot. They also instruct you when you go into prison, which didn't happen yesterday, which I was kind of surprised. They tell you if there is a hostage situation, you will not be negotiated for. You're stuck, so you're coming at your own risk. And they tell you this, if they want to rape you or whatever they want to do, you let them do it because they'll kill you if you don't. So they tell you that almost as motivation. No, I'm not getting into motivation, but you know, you hear you are going into minister, and they say, we have to warn you. This is the rules in a prison. So we're in there, and this happens, and all the guys are down, and the guards are running, about 30 of them running to this place, and these guys are fighting, rolling around the ground. They hit him with tear gas. You see this big old puff of smoke. Then they shot one guy with a rubber bullet, and it was pretty eventful. So that little evangelism event got postponed about 45 minutes. But then we went to another yard, which is protective custody, which is consists most of police officers, mostly, I should say, sex offenders. Because believe it or not, there is a code of ethics in prison, and a sex offender is the lowest of the low life. And if you go there as a sex offender, whether you're a rapist, child molester, or whatever, they will kill you, beat you up, whatever. They have a very high regard for children and women, believe it or not. So they put all the high-risk inmates in this one area called PC, Protective Custody. And when we went there, it was a room about the size of a basketball court with a couple of 300 guys in there. And when I went up to speak, God just said, don't say anything, just look at them. You know, don't try to go up, hey, just go up there and just stop and look at them. And so I went up there and was looking at them, and I was just looking around, and I was looking at all these guys that God loves so much. And I didn't say anything for about 2 minutes, and the longer I stood there, the quieter it got. And God was saying to me, I'm not looking at them feeling sorry or sad about what could have been in their life, even though that is true. I'm looking at them excited about what can be from this point forward. And today, God looks at you and says, okay, the past is gone. You cannot go backwards, but you can go forward. And if you let me guide you and lead you, your life will be more amazing than anything you've ever experienced, anything you could do on your own. In this story we're going to look at, it's a story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem as the Messiah. They call it the triumphant entry. It's Palm Sunday, where they lay palms in front of the donkey. They praise him, Hosanna, which means save now. And he is acknowledged as the Messiah. And it happens to be the day that the Passover lamb was selected in the Jewish culture. Jesus was the lamb that was slain. He was slain on Passover. So this is the day that they choose the Passover lamb. So here Jesus, as the Passover lamb, is coming into Jerusalem saying, here I am. I'm going to die for your sins. I don't know whether they understood it, but that's how the dates lined up, and that's what was going on. But we're not going to focus on Jesus and what he was symbolizing on that day. We're going to focus on the donkey, the jackass that rode him in, okay? The colt of an ass, or whatever, however you want to say it. And I want to challenge you to be the donkey. You're never going to be God. But imagine the experience of the donkey. Here he is walking, everyone's yelling, hey, you the man, you the man. He's got a nice robe on his back. He's got nice palm branches under his feet. Everyone's cheering. He's got the crowds. And all he had to do to experience what he never could have done on his own was to hang with Jesus. You know, everything you ever do. When I walked into prison yesterday, I saw a dance floor prophets who have gone in with us three or four times. And the only time I see them, though I shouldn't say the only time I see them, the last three times I've seen them has been in prisons. What a great thing to have in common with somebody is that we do ministry together. The Katinas, who were here last Good Friday, we've probably done 30 altar calls together, or 40. And every altar call, I look at them and say, fellas, what a great thing to do together is to see thousands of people get saved. And so if you would let Christ lead and guide your life, you could be like that donkey. You can experience all the amazing things that God does. And matter of fact, people will give you credit, even though it's God doing it. People will give you credit. You don't do it for that reason, but that's just a fringe benefit. So let's look at chapter 11, verse 1. It says in chapter 11, verse 1, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and to Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt on which no one has sat. Loose it, bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. Immediately he will send it.'" Look in your notes. First thing is that the colt was set free. The colt was set free and untied to serve the Lord. John 8, 31 to 32 says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If you decide, you know what, I'm going to start obeying God's word and not my friend's word, not my own word, my own advice. I'm going to obey God's word. You know what he does? He sets you free. Sets you free from lies, from bondage, bondage of drugs, the bondage of peer pressure, the bondage of your fears. He sets you free to obey him. Fellas, you ever have an argument with your wife or your girlfriend or any woman? And then you find out that you're wrong? Yes. And here's the one I want to hear if you're going to say yes to. And then it's really hard to admit it? Yes, yes. You're like, God sets you free to be able to say, I was wrong. God sets you free to repent, to forgive people. Because we have our own ways of doing things that are our ways. Christ will set you free. He wants to set you free. Look at the next one in your notes. The donkey was set aside for one purpose. Write down Romans 12, 1 and 2. Set aside, Romans 1, 12, 1 and 2. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service." You know what the Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2? Please set yourself aside just so God can do with you whatever he wants, however he wants you. See, the donkey, the Bible says no one ever sat on a donkey. That's because the donkey was only to be used for what God wanted him to be used and nothing else. It wasn't to be shared. God doesn't want to share you with anybody. You have a purpose from God. Now, I'm going to say something to all you moms out there. It might shock you a little bit, but some moms are in idolatry of their children. What does that mean? Moms want to so bad be a good mom, and that's a noble thing. They want to so bad take care of the kids, and that's a noble thing and a biblical thing. But sometimes they want so bad to do that, they become an idol. They idolize that their role of being a mother. And they forget God. God says, no. I give you a perfect example how you can know if you're doing that. When God puts your child in a situation where they have to fall out and experience hard times on their own, and you want to protect them from it. Sometimes you just got to let them fall. Absolutely. How do you know that? Look how many times God lets you fall. God doesn't protect us from pain. Hey, you get yourself in trouble? Hey, I'll be here to encourage you. But you know what? The only way you're going to learn, because some of us have really hard heads, is to hit it on the concrete. We are not here to be mom, dad, business owner, brother, sister. We are here for God. We belong only to God, primarily. When my daughter was born, when little kids are born, their heads are very soft. And when they come through the vaginal canal, sometimes their heads are put into a point. And usually after a few years, it goes away, but I see some of y'all still struggling. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to point anybody out. You know what I'm saying? But you might notice a few points around the room if you look a little hard enough. Some of y'all going to feel your head when you go home. Is he talking about me? My daughter had a point to the head, to the side. She looked like Gumby. She had this big bump right here. 12 hours after she was born, she was laying in her little incubator crib thing. And she was wrapped in this blanket. She was 7 pounds, whatever. She was this big. She was wrapped all up, and all that was sticking out was this little point. And I said, that's my daughter. My daughter and my wife. I was so possessed. It was the first child. That's how you are to God. You are His. And He has a specific purpose He is so excited to implement today. But you have to let Him set you free. You got to say, Lord, here I am. Matter of fact, look at the next one. And you know it's right down. The colt was surrendered by the owner. Surrendered by the owner. Look at verse 3 in the Bible. It says, if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately He will send it. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood by there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. The people who complained were actually the neighbors. The owner was like, this is the Lord's colt. If the Lord said to you, I have need of your house. Well, come on, Lord, you know, can you pick His house? Let me rent a room at the Marriott. What would you say? God said, I have need of your, from 5 a.m. to 6:30, your sleep. Can I have it? I have need of your money. Can I have it? I have need of your family. I have need of your car, your boat, your plane, if you have one. Can I borrow it? Or can I have it? How about if I want it? You know, I had a pastor, he was telling me, they were raising money in the church for a building program, and he says, oh yeah, we have, he made this announcement to the church. We have all the money needed for our building program in our church. Y'all just haven't given it up yet. If God said to you, I want something, is there anything in your life, in your possession that He has given you, which is everything you have He's given you, by the way, that if He says, I have need of it, that you would let it go? Well, the first thing you need to let go is your heart. See, something we all want to live for ourselves. We want to control our own life, do what we want to do. Okay, God says, now I want you to let me have your heart. Let me have your desires. Let me have your dreams. Let me have your talents. I need you first. Because once I get you, then everything else will follow. That's the primary thing He wants. This owner says, oh, this belongs to God. I already know it belongs to God. Next one, number 4. The colt was saddled as if for a king. Saddled as if for a king. Write down Revelation 7:9-10. Chapter 7, verse 9 and 10 says, after these things, behold, a great multitude which no one could number, all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. What are the white robes? Robes of righteousness. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, He clothes you with His righteousness. You do not want to go to God with your righteousness. You don't ever want to say to God, God, look what good thing I did. Look how many times I read my Bible. Look how many times I went to church in a row. 3 weeks in a row. I read my Bible 2 days in a row. 2 verses each day. I prayed for dinner every day this week. And think, okay, God. God's like, and? When are you going to get saved? Non-Christians do that. It's not about you going to God with your righteousness based on what you do. You do not ever want to be based on that. You always come up short. You want to be based on the righteousness that Christ has given you. The Bible says he gives us his righteousness. I stand before God today 100% righteous, not because of anything Miles has done other than ask Christ to give me his righteousness. Your righteousness is like a filthy rag. In prison, 40% or so of the people have hepatitis C and other diseases. One of the reasons is the shared needles in tattooing. When you go to a tattoo parlor, they may change the needle, but the hepatitis or the disease is in the ink. So if I have a disease and they give me a tattoo and I'm done it, they change the needle. You come in, did you change the needle? Yeah, but it's in the ink. So now they use the same ink. They don't know that. They forget that. And a lot of other ways, things that they do that are poisonous. Matter of fact, one of the reasons the yard is fenced off is that 8 years ago there was an attack. 93 inmates attacked 18 guards and they stabbed them. And what they do is they take the knife and they dip the knife in feces. And the stab wound might not get you, but the feces poisons you. And so I just got finished hearing all of this. So I go into the yard, and I'm shaking all these guys' hands, shaking hands, shaking hands, shaking hands, shaking hands, shaking hands. And then this guy comes up to me with this rag, and he wants me to sign it. So when I signed it, it was wet. And I'm thinking, what was that? I mean, if one of y'all out here gave me a handkerchief and it was wet, I'd be like, what was that? But I had all this stuff in my mind. Your righteousness is like a nasty, wet rag. It is. God says, if you give me a heart, I'll clothe you with my righteousness. Look at the next one, number 5. The colt was steered onto a clear path. Steered onto a clear path. Psalm 41:3 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth. You ever have in a dream you're running from somebody and you can't get away? They're like, say amen if you know what I'm talking about. And they're coming after you, and you start getting scared because you know they're going to catch you because you're not really running fast. Sometimes our life can be like that. You're just trying this, trying that, dating this person, going to this job, taking these classes, and you're not getting anywhere. Your feet are in a miry pit. God says, listen, I want to take your feet out of the miry pit, and I want to put them on a rock, solid foundation. I was watching, I think it was like 8 years ago. I was really little. And I was watching TV, Jackie Gleason, if y'all who are old remember him, was doing a monologue, and he was describing little boys. And he was describing all the things little boys have in common. And one of the things he mentioned was little boys like to throw rocks in water. I think little boys like to throw rocks in anything, people, cars. And, you know, I'm no different. I was a little boy. I love rocks. But now that I'm a little older boy, I love big rocks because they're so solid. God created rocks. And he created them, and he knew that one day he was going to be the rock of our salvation. And so he put our feet on the rock. It does not move unless he chooses to move it. That's what he did for the cult. Made a smooth path. There you go. You're not going to sink. You're not going to get stuck. Go ahead. That's what God wants to do for you. Doesn't mean the path won't have trials or ups and downs, but it will be clear what you're supposed to do. God will clear your path and so you know where you're supposed to go. Last one, the colt was used to surround Jesus with praise. Now, many of you may have heard someone say, we should bring praise to the Lord. That's true. We should bring praise and honor and glory to God. We sing to him. We praise him. We tell him how, thank you for him. Y'all with me? This is the opposite. where you bring Christ to praise, or you bring Christ into situations that honor him. You bring Christ in situations that he's pleased to be. In other words, when we were walking into prison, I know God wants, the Bible says, when I was in prison, you visited me. So I was like, okay, God, let's go into prison. Not that I'm bringing him, but he's leading me. But I'm saying, listen, Lord, let's go into prison and do something good. Let's go over here and encourage this person. Let's go to church. How many times do you bring Christ into a situation that he doesn't like? How many times are you in a conversation gossiping about somebody? Well, let me tell you something. Christ is there. Everywhere you go, he's there, whether you like it or not. How many the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, when you have sex with someone who's not married or when there's a sexual illicit relationship, that you join Christ to a harlot. So you're bringing Christ into this relationship, joining him. He doesn't want to be there, but he's there because you're there. The donkey brought Christ to a place where he could be praised, where he could be honored. My challenge to you is everywhere you go, ask God, does he want to go? Ask God, is this going to honor him? Is this going to please him? Is he going to enjoy the time you're going to have? Because guess what? If he's not, you don't go there. Because you can't leave him behind. I heard someone say the other day that if you don't have a meaningful relationship with someone over 80 years old, you're missing out. 80 years old. There's a woman, I don't know how old she is, but she is elderly. I'm going to guess she's about 4'11", because she sits about the third or fourth row right here or at this end or that end at the 7:15 service, our youngest, most youthful service. And everyone's head's about this high. She's way down here. And I want so bad to meet this woman, but I can't get to her. But she's just sitting there laughing with it. And I would love to sit down with this woman and talk to her. But I'm going to say this. If you don't have a meaningful relationship with someone under 10, you're missing out. If y'all were here last week, you saw the Rock TV where I was in the nursery taking a nap with the preschoolers. Did y'all see? Y'all hear that? I had my Spider-Man blanket. And we were all laying down. And it was so funny because the kids were all like, they were so laughing. They were like, let's take a nap. They were like laughing because out here I am in this little bed with this, my feet are hanging off one end, my head's hanging off the other end. And you know what? If you spent all your day saying, God, can we go over here and talk? Would it please you to talk? Oh, yeah, I like that. Would it please you go over here and pray for this person? Oh, yeah, I like that. Would it please you to go over here and do this? Oh, I like that. Would it please you for me to go over here and get high? No, I don't want that. Okay, I won't do that. Would it please you, me, go over here and get drunk? I won't do that then. Would it please you if I go over here and talk about somebody? No, don't do that unless it's going to be good. That you bring Christ into places where he is going to be honored. And that's what this donkey did. He didn't bring him over to the stall or over to the field. He brought him where all the people would praise him. Let's review. Number one, Jesus wants to set you free. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free to be and do what God has created you to be and do. He will set you aside for one purpose. That purpose is already established. He will help you save time and energy. Wasting time and energy. There are a lot of students I talked to in college who after 4 years and $100,000+ of tuition money changed their mind. Oh, I don't want to do that anymore. I think I'm going to go work at Starbucks. Cost me $120,000 for you to figure out you want to work at Starbucks. God can show you, hey, listen, don't waste your time. Number four, surrendered by the owner, surrender yourself to Jesus. Let him have whatever he wants. Number five, let him clothe you with righteousness, saddled as if for a king. Number four. Number five, steered onto a clear path. And the last one, bring God into situations where he is praised. Bring God into situations where he is going to be pleased to be, and that he's going to be able to have the freedom to use you in a way that would honor him. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. We thank you that you do have a plan for our life. Lord, we thank you so much that the world may see us as donkeys. You have a plan that we can experience things our wisdom and skills could never produce. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we will be saved, set free, be clothed with your righteousness. We'll be able to see things and do things that we could never see and do on our own. Most of all, we'll become your child. If today you're saying, yes, I want to be that person. I want to be set free. I want to be forgiven. I want a new chance, new direction in my life from this day forward. I want to challenge you to pray this prayer with me. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I want to be set free. I believe my sin has me in bondage. I believe you died for me and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Today, I want to start over. Today, I want to be born all over again. Today, I want to begin fulfilling your plan in my life. Thank you, Lord. If this morning you're praying to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, today you're saying, Lord, set me free. Take my feet out of a miry pit, put it on a rock. If that's you this morning, eyes closed, heads bowed, I'm just going to ask you to stand to your feet and acknowledge God's forgiveness in your life. Acknowledge today being your first new day of life. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning, God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. God bless you too. Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Good. Anybody else? God has spoken to you this morning? Good. Now we're going to ask all you. God bless you. Good. Good. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing to do one more thing. As we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask you to come out of your seat and come on down to the altar. And let's give them a hand as they come on down. Come on right down here. Amen. Amen. Who's the man? How you doing, man? Stay right here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Next week is Easter, and next week is the week that people come to church, because next week is the day that Jesus did what no one else could do, is rise from the dead. And the reason he rose from the dead, many reasons, but one is proof that he has power over life. And he has the power to give y'all a new start. All of us in here. Before we pray for them, I want to challenge all of y'all. Next week is the easiest week to get someone to come to church of the whole year. That and Christmas. Take advantage. Find somebody and go get the person you least expect. Okay? Bring them to church. They're going to hear the gospel. People are going to get saved. Let's take advantage of it. Amen? Amen? God loves all y'all. He has a plan for your life. In a minute, we're going to pray for you. Then we're going to send you over to that guy right there. He has something he wants to give you. Next week, Friday night, we'll be at OAT, Open Air Theater at San Diego State, for a mini concert, and we're going to have a service also. And then Sunday all day, we'll be at Open Air Theater also at San Diego State. So be praying for that person. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I want to pray for those inmates yesterday. As horrible as that place is, and it is horrible, it's nothing like hell. And I pray that those guys in there would give you a chance. And I pray we would be able to appreciate the freedom we have. We complain about things that basically are meaningless. So much of what we complain about is nothing but a smokescreen from the devil so we don't see the real deal. I pray we can live faithfully for you. And I pray as we reflect this week on Easter and prepare for it, that you would continually to challenge us to surrender ourselves to you every second. Challenge us to reevaluate the use of our time, our energy, our gifts, our resources, that they may really, truly be surrendered to you. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask y'all to walk right to that guy right there. Let's give them a hand as they walk over. God bless you.